Oh my god, I'm late! I gotta record something quick! Subscribe to the Patreon! Patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for both the podcast, Ritwit and Paleobites, except not really Ritwit, it's just Paleobites. I'm wasting time! Okay. What are we talking about this week? We're talking about Primal Rage! Primal Rage is pretty cool. It's a big arcade game with farting apes and lightning-themed dragon dinosaur things. Pretty cool. Links in the description. Have a good day! I'm late for a very important date!
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that, like the shell of an ammonite, goes around in circles and ends with tentacles. Which also describes last Friday night with my girlfriend. Yeah. Never mind.
Oh. That was really pathetic, Donald. You could do better.
Thank you. Thank you, Gaston. Of course. Man. So, my name is Matthew Donald, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by, originally I was going to be joined by my friend Christina Eilert, but she recently got sick, and I had to record something quickly, and no one else was available, so I say thank you so much for not throwing us under the bus, for we took a time out of our busy schedulers to come here, and here you are, being like, oh, no one else could do it, and sorry, we just treat us like a bit of a chopped liver, huh?
I say, you're being about as blunt as a hypodermic needle.
Yes, thank you, guys. Anyways, so, as you can tell, I am joined by these fine folks from my other show, The Ritwit, currently on indefinite hiatus.
Bring it back! That is what the fans want!
That's what Matthew David wants, anyways.
Yes, Monsieur David!
Alright, well, anyways, I'm joined by the DePapier brothers, the very real and not just national stereotypes. We got the famed French story chef Gaston Crayon DePapier.
Bonjour, messieurs of the Paleobats. I'm here because my latest Michelin star story cooking restaurant failed the health inspection, so here I am trying to pay the bills by being on a third-rate podcast.
More like a fifth or sixth rate, if I do say so myself. Oh, I say.
Thank you, guys. Anyways, so as well as Gaston Crayon DePapier, we also have one Luigi Alfredo DePapier.
Yes, it is me, Luigi Alfredo DePapier. I'm so sorry your friend is sick. May I suggest a bit of a tomato soup and some spaghetti and the meatballs and maybe a fine glass of wine?
Thank you. That'd be very nice. I'll let her know.
Also, I'm here because I was going to get a gig as the voice of one Italian plumber Mario in the latest Super Mario Bros. Movie, but they wanted more of a cooked rodent type, so I lost the role.
Cooked rodent type?
Yes, like a crispy rat. That's what they wanted.
Oh, as a well-renowned chef, I know there is nothing more humiliating than losing the role of a lifetime to a crisp rat.
Ain't that the truth. Anyways, also joining us is this fine fellow, the American, more like West Virginian, sort of Southern-ish, sort of, I don't know what this character is. He's Lone Star DePapier in his famed story barbecue shop. How are you?
Oh, I say. I'm doing quite fine. Even though I'm the only one whom my career seems to be flourishing. These fine financial times where no one can afford anything. And gas prices are so high. They want to go to a place like mine to get to that comfort food and rediscover that, you know, American spirit that has been lost over these long and dreadful times. I say.
Okay, all right. You say indeed. Ah, this is gonna not be embarrassing to listen to at all, so you guys all behave, okay?
Oh, we shall behave for sure! We are professionals!
Yes, we are a bit of a professionals, and we are not the national stereotypes whatsoever. We are very real three-dimensional characters.
Oh, I say, this is more embarrassing than when no one could go to the Sadie Hawkins dance, so I took my dog, and everyone stared at me. But I did love that dog, I say.
All right, calm down, everyone. So, I would ask you all a dinosaur-related question, but so this has been going on long enough. We need to wrap this up quickly. This is not going to be a really long episode, I swear. This is desperate measures bringing the three of you in.
Oh, you really don't appreciate us at all, even after I've given you so many other spaghetti and meatballs.
Zachary Blue, could you be more insulting with the way you treat your fine co-hosts?
All right, calm down, guys. I do apologize. I really, really do. All right, so I guess we'll do a nice way question. So this is the one I tend to ask all the new co-hosts, and hopefully you guys are one-time-only guest co-hosts, but what's all of your favorite dinosaur? We'll start with you, a Lone Star.
Oh, I say, as a Lone Star myself, my favorite is the state fossil of the Lone Star State itself, Acrocanthosaurus. Oh, I do love me some Lone Star State fossils.
You're not even from the Lone Star State. We've already established you're from West Virginia.
Oh, well, my family tree is a bit muddled. It's more like a wreath, one might say.
Your family tree is our family tree. We are brothers. Don't you forget that.
It is very confusing that we are all brothers, even though we are all from three very different countries and have very different accents.
Yeah, almost as if all your accents are fake or something. Anyways, alright, so Acroganthosaurus, that's good. Good to hear, Lone Star. Sounds like you did your research.
Oh, I say, I know a bit about dinosaurs. All I know is that they did go extinct by missing the Ark, and therefore they were drowned by the Flood.
Oh, not one of these folks! Why did you invite him on this podcast, Monsieur Donald?
Because I had no one else. We've been over this. Alright, so, Acrocanthosaurus, we'll just ignore the last bit that you said. Luigi, what's your favorite dinosaur?
Oh, my favorite dinosaur of all, it's one of Yoshi, the one that my good friend Mario rides, and sometimes as a baby. Maybe sometimes a grown adult. I like to play him in the Mario Kart and the Mario Party.
Oh, wow. This is really embarrassing. I mean, I do like Yoshi, too. He's actually my go-to in any Mario game.
Oh, you're one of those folks. One of the losers who picks Yoshi in a Mario game. The only thing more lame than picking Yoshi in a Mario game is picking Mario in a Mario game.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Why am I being judged by you guys? You guys are, like, ones to talk. Gaston, how about you? Do you have a favorite dinosaur?
Oh, if this counts, I do like a good cooked goose and a roasted duck. Their flavors go very well with my story cooking in my Michelin star restaurant.
I notice you keep saying Michelin star restaurant, but you never say how many Michelin stars. You did say you failed a health inspection, so...
So quiet! No one needs to hear that.
Alright. Sorry, I pried. Anyways, well, I guess the goose and the ducks that you cook do count as dinosaurs, so I'll allow it. Anyways, so speaking of something that actually isn't a dinosaur, but
if I may interfere with a question here, why do you ask people what their favorite dinosaur is if the show doesn't always talk about dinosaurs? You know, I mean, it talks about the other beasts that died before the Great Flood.
Shut up, Lone Star! No one cares about that! This is a podcast about science!
You know, he does bring a valid point about why I ask people about dinosaurs rather than other stuff. It's just because, you know, dinosaurs is the gateway to paleontology for a lot of people.
Oh, that is very clear. They didn't think it very thoroughly before doing something like this.
Yeah, well, okay. Anyways, we're talking about a creature that is not a dinosaur, and barely is even a creature, because this creature is not valid. We're talking about Brontotherium, the Thunder Beast.
That sounds wonderful! Wonderfully delicious, I must say! And make a cookie on a rotisserie!
Perhaps. That sounds a bit gamey, though, I think. Anyways, type, it's a Brontother, an extinct group of odd-toed ungulates that help us continue the Paleobites Bronto Month. Size, 8 feet tall at the shoulder, 2 to 3 tons.
Oh, that sounds like Aunt Roberta. 8 feet tall at the shoulder, 2 to 3 tons. Oh, no one messes with Aunt Roberta.
That sounds like he's making it up, but it is 100% accurate. Do not mess with Aunt Roberta.
Oh, Mamma Mia, that is very true. Don't mess with Aunt Roberta.
Okay, good to know. Diet's herbivore.
Oh, that is not like Aunt Roberta at all. She was not a herbivore. She was a bloodthirsty predator.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so, time, late Eocene, 38 to 34 million years ago. Location, United States.
I say, it's my home country. I'm assuming more in the southern parts, and maybe the southeastern parts, like my fine state.
Actually, no, it's in the northern parts.
Oh, that's about as lame as the deer I caught in my bear trap went out hunting the other week.
Ugh, that is morbid! And I cook goose and duck!
Yeah, it is. Anyways, it was described in 1873. Pop culture appearances. A guy named Carl in the first Ice Age movie is one. That's a good name for a Brontotherium. I can see that guy being a Carl. As well as that, its relatives were featured in the TV shows Walking with Beasts, Life After Dinosaurs, and Primeval. Alright, so let's get this out of the way. There probably actually isn't a Brontotherium.
What? Then what is it we're talking about? This podcast is built on lies!
I'll say, hold on, just... give me a second, guys. Most scientists have decided this genus is actually a synonym for another genus called Megaceros, along with other proposed genera names Menotus, Brontops, Menops, Ateliodon, and Oranotherium. The name Brontotherium actually comes not from paleontologists using their usual Greek terminology, but from the native Sioux tribes who found these bones after they were exposed by severe rainstorms. The Sioux people called them thunder beasts, which, hey, is what Brontotherium means! Yay! Any comments about any of that, Papier Brothers?
Not from me, monsieur. My lips are sealed.
Nope, I have nothing to say either.
Just spaghetti meatballs. Well, there's some things I could say about them native people, but I don't think any of you would like to hear it.
No, we definitely don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it, Lone Star. Anyway, so, despite Brontotherium being considered an outdated name, the group of mammals it belongs to this day is still called Brontotheres, so one way or another its name lives on. The most famous Brontothere is probably in Bellotherium, mainly because it's the one depicted in the second episode of BBC's documentary Walking with Beasts. Even though they refer to it simply as a Brontothere, that one has a similar nose crest to this one, but far more brittle and with open air pockets, perhaps to make some noises with them, akin to the crests of hadrosaurids. These guys' horns, though, were far more deadly, as several skeletons have been found with partially healed rib fractures that no other animal could have done.
Oh, partially healed rib. That sounds utterly delicious. There's nothing more delectable than the meat off of a partially healed rib.
Wait, Gaston, why are you saying the thing about ribs? I thought that'd be more Lone Star's forte.
Oh, I do like me some ribs. It is a story barbecue place, after all. But no, partially healed. I would never do anything of the sort. I want them full-on broken. So we can break them and eat them with our mouths as we dip them in barbecue sauce. We take our barbecue sauce very seriously in the Southeast. I've seen those fine folks in South Carolina. Oh, they love their barbecue sauce. They even have a West South Carolina barbecue sauce. Oh, so specific.
Yeah, I seem chopped too, Lone Star, I understand. Okay, so, as for why the name Brontotherium is considered outdated, along with all the other names I mentioned, like Brontops and Menops, it was deduced by a paper by paleontologist Mythbachler.
Oh, you really butchered that name! Worse than I butcher the goose in Michelin star restaurant!
Look, I don't know how to pronounce it. You get this name. Look, it's Mythbachler. You try to pronounce that.
Oh, I'm not even going to try. I will not embarrass myself like you have this day.
Oh, thank you for letting me speak and embarrassing myself, Gaston.
Oh, no problem. You will thank me later, I assure you.
All right. In this paper by the paleontologist in 2005, there was an old paper of the Brontothere family published in 1997, which summarized research conducted before 1920 and thus was considered badly outdated. In the 2005 paper, most of the remains that were previously described as all those other genera were put together into the genus Megaceros due to their rather apparent similarities, and thus the validity of Brontotherium has died. Let that stop this show before.
Yeah, I must say, this show is not very up-to-date with the recent times. Don't you recently have talked about Stinky Malak and the Dracorax as a separate species to a Pachycephalosaurus?
Hey, those are separate species! I'm going to die on this hill!
Oh, you would die on that hill, but that goes against all modern paleontology. And you would call yourself a paleontology fan.
I say, you're no paleontology fan. Those were definitely the same species as conducted by the one and only Jack Horner, who was very much a friend of mine and a regular at my store barbecue cafe.
Of course he'd be a regular at your cafe! Ugh, God. Anyways. But yeah, no, I have done separate episodes and all those as separate species, but damn it, they're separate species! But the skull is an anamorphic bone structure where the spikes are absorbed into the skull and create the dome. Like, name another animal that does that, huh? I'm gonna die on this hill. They're all different species. I don't care what Jack Horner or everyone else thinks, and I don't really have any other evidence for it other than a hunch, but damn it, I like this hunch, and I like those species.
That is very scientific of you, I must say.
Anyways. Let's rate Brontotherium 1 out of 65 million and get the hell out of here. What was I thinking bringing you guys in?
I don't think it was us that was the problem. I think it was you. It is always you that is the problem.
Wait, this is always you. You need to have some self-confidence. This is not the way for you to live your life, Donald. You are better than this podcasting business. You should be a chef. You said you watched Chopped, did you not? You should go and cook some wondrous meats, maybe from some of these dinosaurs that you lack so much. Like a good duck or a goose.
Oh, heaven knows. My store barbecue shop is always open for employment. We pay our employees a wondrous fee of about $3 to $5 an hour. But don't worry, most of it's made up for in tips. Why would I pay my own employees when my customers can? That's just being a good capitalist, I say.
All right. I heard you. Stop saying I say three times. Ugh. All right, well, I'm going to rate Brontotherium. I'm going to rate it like a 2 million because it's not real. In fact, most of that 2 million is pity points. That's what I think, anyways. What do you guys think? What rate this thing?
Oh, I think I'll rate this terrifying, thunderous beast. What about maybe a 33 million? I think it deserves some attention from this naming stuff. Especially if the Sioux tribes named it. That is very interesting, I must say.
As for me, I think I'll rate it about 10 million. It doesn't sound too delicious. Maybe it would go well with a bit of spaghetti, the meatballs, and sometimes the tomato soup with the mozzarella cheese.
Shut up with your stupid Italian cheeses and all so stupid and stereotypical food, brother.
But that is all I have to offer. I'm a very one-dimensional character.
Oh, well, as a creature that was probably mistaken for a unicorn and didn't make it aboard the Ark with all the other stuff...
Shut up!
As it didn't make it aboard the Ark, clearly this was not the good Lord's intention for this creature to survive, so I'm going to give it a -666, the mark of the beast, like a thunderous beast, like this so thunderous beast is, I say.
All right, well, good enough, guys. Alright, so thank you so much for joining us. This was a very good idea to have you all aboard the show. The listeners are absolutely going to love this. Anyways, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@matthewdoncreator.com for any general questions to any of the co-hosts. You can find me on social media at matthewdoncreator on Facebook and matthewdon64 in every other place, so like Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. And where can we find all of you guys? You can find all you guys on the show The Rich Wits.
But it's currently on indefinite hiatus. And whose fault is that, Monsieur Donald? Why won't you bring it back like the fans really want you to?
Because I don't want to. I have lost all my ideas for it. I lost all my passion. I lost my vigor.
So pathetic, Donald. So pitiful.
All right, well, I guess you can find them on that pitiful show, The Ritwit. I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. No Brontotherium in it because it's well after when it takes place, so not interested. Also have another podcast called The Ritwit, as we said, and that's what you guys are on. So if you want to hear more of these fine folks, fine banter, I suppose, check it out. This is definitely a ringing endorsement for it.
Ah, yes, very much so. Very much a ringing endorsement for it. Spaghetti, meatballs, mozzarella.
God, you're such a stereotype. I'm going to be so canceled after this. All right, well, that's it for this week. As I say at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites, they don't say anything. Get the hell out of here.
Wait, do not go, messieurs. I have more to say. I have this wonderful recipe for a fine cooked goose.
Oh, I bet it goes well with the mozzarella and a fine tomato soup.
Shut up, brother!